want to be offensive, but sometimes the truth is offensive. And we kind of get to a point where the world, a whole bunch, said, well, whatever you believe in your heart is fine, and as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, you believe what you believe, and it's fine. And Christians pick that up. Now, I understand the world saying that because they're walking in darkness, but whatever you believe isn't fine. It's not. It's if you don't believe Jesus is the way to heaven, you miss heaven. That's just the way. What you believe matters. If you believe that you're gonna be with Allah, if you blow yourself up in the middle of a crowd of people, and you'll be with Allah and 72 virgins, you know what? What you believe matters. It's not true. You'll wake up burning. You don't wake up in paradise. What you believe matters. And so the Bible commands us to earnestly, with intensity, contend for the faith. And we will, as a church, we'll do that. If ever the church believes wrong and we're the only church contending anymore, and they say we're just contentious, then we're just contentious, I guess. That's what they'll say about us. We can't stop contending for the truth. The truth matters. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth must be important because he is the truth. And he wants us to believe the truth. We started on false prophets last week. And I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start in chapter 11 and verse 7. And this is Paul defending his apostleship, which was attacked. By the way, when Paul preached the Corinthian church, and you stop doing this and straighten this out and do this, the false teachers in the church, immediately what they did is not argue with what Paul said. They attacked Paul. Okay? And understand that if you're going to be a messenger of the truth, when people don't want to believe the truth, they will attack you personally. That's very important there. I have to understand it as a pastor. It doesn't matter how nice I am, how kind I am, how loving I am. I will be attacked. I have to be attacked if I'm going to stand for the truth, because if the devil demonizes you, then your message isn't true. And I tell you, one really important thing there, even if somebody is demonized and it's true, the truth is the truth. If I get up there and say, Jesus is Lord, and all of a sudden you find out that I was a total fake and hypocrite, Jesus is still Lord. That didn't change. And the Bible is still the way to heaven. Well, my parents did this and this, but you know, they taught me the Bible, but, well, is the Bible true or not? Doesn't matter what your parents did. Now, our lives back up the truth, and they won't believe the truth if we don't live it. And certainly we ought to live the truth and not be hypocrites. However, but it doesn't excuse you from the truth if somebody's demonized. And and by the way, it's a real important relationship with the preacher. One of the biggest things about the preacher is, it's a strange thing, constantly when you backslide, you will begin to struggle with not liking me. I don't know why that is. I kind of understand it biblically, that because all of a sudden, what'll happen is you'll tend towards justifying what you're doing, and if I'm a bad guy, what you're doing is okay. Now, it's not okay, even if I am a bad guy. And I'm not a hypocrite and things, but do you understand that the messenger gets attacked? And Paul's going to have to defend himself to say, hey, you do need to listen to me. I'm an apostle. I'm sent by Jesus personally to preach the truth to you. It says, verse 7, have I committed any offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached unto you the gospel freely? Now, interesting, the word freely, when he says I preach the gospel freely, the word there is not openly. The word there is without charging you. And he's going to get back to that. Verse 8, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will keep myself. This is the one church that Paul started while he's a tent maker. He didn't do it at all the churches, just this one. And this one church, the Corinthian church, is where he started being a tent maker. And he knew with these people, just the way they're wired and how messed up they were, he needed to not take anything from them. And he's getting back to that in this case, and it was very important that he did that. And other churches, and by the other churches, gave to him and helped him do the ministry. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, those who want to accuse me, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. For such are as our false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers It's interesting. Whose ministers? Satan's ministers. Satan has ministers. Now, they usually don't say First Satanic Baptist Church or First Satanic Methodist Church. A little smarter than that. No red suits with horns and tails. That's not what he does. But he does have ministers. And Satan is transformed into an angel of light. He's undercover. And no great thing it's that his servants do that. Therefore, is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, who end is according to their works. Later we'll read that end is hell. And so, he says, you know what? This is how they are. They're trying to discredit God's man's authority. They are selfish, and they look like God's ministers. Those are three things that false prophets have right there. They try to discredit God's authority, and we read that last week and just started on it in Jude, and we'll read that. Whenever we see false prophets, a lot of times we see that they're discrediting God's authority. False prophets are anti-authority. Now, you say, well, you know what? I'm anti-authority. I'm not a false prophet. Maybe then you're lining up with the wrong side. You might not be a false prophet, but maybe you have an issue. But anti-authority is anti-Bible. The number one subject in the entire Bible is authority. Number one subject. Started in Genesis chapter 3. You're not going to eat those trees? Yes, I am. I want to be a God. It ends up in Revelation 22. And everywhere throughout, salvation is all authority. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Everything in the Bible is authority. Are you going to follow Christ? That's authority. Who's the authority? Everything in the Bible is authority. And so it's a huge, important, it's the most important subject in the entire Bible. You can't get saved without understanding he's the authority in salvation. If you don't believe the authority of the Bible, you won't follow God. Everything's about authority in the Bible. And God being the ultimate authority. So false prophets are anti-authority. And we're going to talk about that and other things. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. We pray that your spirit would guide and help us to teach your word truthfully. Help us to recognize false prophets so we can contend for the faith. And we thank you for your spirit that can guide us, Lord. Help us to say the right things and do the right things and believe the right things. And may we rightly divide the word of truth, Lord, and see the truth of your word powerfully. Help us to know how to contend for the faith and what to contend for and what's right and wrong. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see there are three things about false prophets. They try to discredit God's man's authority. They are selfish. Paul says, I came to you and ministered for nothing. I lived for you. I died for you. I didn't take anything from you. I would have plucked out my own eyes for you. I did everything for you. These people are not like that. They want things from you. They're taking from you. And by the way, that's what a cult does. You don't go to the cult long where they serve you. Pretty soon, they're taking from you, taking from you, taking from you. A good church is a serving church. They serve you. A good Christian serves one another. Greatest among you is servant. And a false prophet will be self-centered. What can you do for them? So if you watch a TV show and all it is about you giving to them, You ever seen one of those shows? If you've watched Christian TV, you've seen it. It's all about you giving to them. I know they send you a hanky for the $100 donation, but, you know. They're selfish, and they look like God's ministers. Well, they look like God's ministers are transformed in angels of light and ministers of righteousness. How do you tell them? Well, we got two things right there. They're anti-authority, and they want and want and want and want and want. And that's what they do. Let's go back to Jude chapter 8, just with that premise, and look back at the false prophet teaching. I am convinced that the Christian bookstore is full of false prophets. Not all of them. Not half of them. But some very famous ones are false prophets. They're going to fit this description. And I believe the Bible, if the Bible says that's a false prophet, whether they look like it, whether they look like it, they don't look like it. They look like a true prophet. Of course, they're transformed into ministers of light. It doesn't matter what a denomination they're called. It doesn't matter how big their church is. That's not what a false prophet is. He doesn't call himself by any certain name. She doesn't go and have any certain denomination. She doesn't go and look like a demon. That's not what a false prophet does. They fit the Bible characteristics of a false prophet. Back in Jude, at the end of your Bible there. And so you've got to have enough faith in the Bible that if you if this person fits this, then you say, you know what? I didn't think they were a false prophet because they sure don't look like one. And they say some good things. Of course they say good things. Of course. The Pharisees said good things. Honor God and follow God and keep the commandments. Of course. They're not going to sit here and say, you should go and blaspheme God. That'd be a really bad false prophet. They wouldn't do that. No, they say good things. But if they fit the, if the shoe fits, you know, it's Cinderella. So you got to just believe the Bible. We see back in Jude verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. So they're filthy and immoral, and they go and they do immoral things, and they defile the flesh, the body, the temple of God. Next, we see their anti-authority. They despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Now, wait a minute. It adds who they speak evil of here. They don't just speak evil of preachers of righteousness. They speak evil of dignities. That's high offices and authorities. That's why you never hear me president bashing. Because that's God's ordained man. That's why I don't bash the police. They're God's ministers, Romans 13. Are they perfect? Uh-uh. Nope. Last president wasn't perfect. The president before him wasn't perfect. This president is perfect. Ronald Reagan isn't perfect. Ford isn't perfect. Nixon wasn't perfect. Kennedy wasn't perfect. Johnson wasn't perfect. A whole bunch of them. Matter of fact, I don't even think George Washington is perfect. I don't think Abraham Lincoln is perfect. But they're God's people that God put them. The powers that be are ordained of God, the Bible says. And so I might not, if they tell me don't preach the Bible, I might not do that, but I'm not gonna attack the authorities God has ordained. By the way, I don't attack you as a parent if you're a bad parent in front of your kids. You might be a terrible parent, and I might disagree with you. I might talk to you personally and say, what are you doing? This is wrong. But I will never tear you down in front of your children. That hurts. That doesn't do good. I don't believe in tearing down authorities. It's not biblical. You say, well, in the book of Acts, they didn't obey the authorities. They told them not to serve God. It's correct. They did not obey those authorities. Did they tear them down? No. They said, you know what? Whether it's right in the sight of God or not, judge ye, but we ought to obey God rather than man. Not you, stupid, stinking, evil authority. Who do you think you are? I ain't doing what you say. I didn't even vote for you. You're evil. That's not what they did. They just said, you know what? We're going to obey God rather than man. That's not disrespecting. It's not disrespecting. They speak evil of, they despise dominions and speak evil of dignities. And then he goes through in chapter 9, verse 9, how Michael would not speak evil of Satan. And he was very, very careful about the authority system because he didn't have authority over Satan. And when fighting over the body of Moses, he said, the Lord rebuke thee. Verse 10, but those speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beast. In those things they corrupt themselves. Immoral, destroy, destruction. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished the gainsaying of Korah. Here we go to the greedy thing again. They ran after the way of Balaam, which has taken a reward to go and prophesy against Israel, which he didn't do, but he took the reward and did it when he was offered a bunch of things. He says they go after Cain, they go after the greediness of Balaam, and they go and say, I am going to do things for reward. A false prophet is after money. Somebody just told me this week that a famous exorcist now, he charges $2,000 per exorcism now. Charges $2,000 so he can cast out a demon from you. I don't think Jesus charged that much, did he? God gives you a gift and you're going to charge people? Wow. All of a sudden, it's all about money. By the way, some of them start off good and become greedy. Some priests you'll listen to and they're awesome and great for years and years, and all of a sudden, you turn on one day and all they talk about is money, 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 raising money, and the next show, money, 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 and next show, money, 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 and buy my book and give this, and very dangerous. I'd watch out for that. Greedy. And we'll read some more verses about that in a little while. Next, a false prophet. They're greedy, they're anti-authority, they're filthy and immoral. They leave you empty in the end. And that's where we kind of left on last time. Verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. They're not saved, by the way. Clouds are they without water, carried about of winds. They don't deliver anything. How about the faith healers who say, don't even go back to the doctor, quit taking your insulin or quit taking your drug, and they die? You know how often that happens? You know what? If you are healed, you can go back to the doctor. By the way, remember Jesus said, lepers, you're healed, now go to the priest and verify it. And he sent him to the priest, and the priest was the ones in the Old Testament supposed to verify when you're healed. There's a reason they don't want you to go to the doctor. By the way, that's foolish, and they should be arrested. Quit taking your vital drug, you're healed. And then they don't take their drug, then they go into a coma. There are things they can't deliver that promise a whole bunch. You send me your seed and you will get back to 100 times that. And you send him your seed and you didn't get back 100 times that. But it sure made you feel good. The whole time your seed was out there, you were hoping and felt good. A cloud's coming. Oh, the cloud didn't rain on me. See, they're false. And our society, and I want you to understand this, our society wants so badly now, to get stuff without doing anything. Right. That if you will just give people hope, people will, listen, these false prophets are getting people who don't have the extra money to send them all their money, and then they stay a broke person. Now they don't have money to pay their rent. And then we go by and pay the rent. So we, in actuality, pay for the false prophet's ministry. Listen, they promise everything, and people are so gullible nowadays because they want to believe things. Oh, if I do this, God's got a future for you. God's going to deliver you health and wealth and prosperity. He's going to do this and that, and he's going to do that. And everybody watches those shows because they want to feel like, I'm going to get health, wealth, and prosperity. And they'll watch it, and they don't get it. They'll still watch it because they're still promised it. Your best life now. Everything's going to go great for you. You're going to get wealth. God's going to help you start that business. You're going to be wealthy and healthy, and your health's going to bloom and everything else. And then all of a sudden, you get cancer. Or you get older and your eyesight starts going away. And by the way, I have to counsel these people. God is so mad at me. I was serving him, and then suddenly my child got sick. I don't know what I did wrong. All of a sudden, my wife, she doesn't have good health. Why is God doing this to me? God must not be prospering because I must not be giving enough, or I must not send enough seed money. No. Job was nothing wrong with his seed money. It's called a human condition. But everyone wants to hear the positive and, oh, everything's going to happen great. You know what? Can I tell you the truth? Your body's going to get old and decrepit. If you don't know that, give it a few years. Okay? God can heal people. Amen. God can do miracles and miraculously heal you. Amen. He can do that. God can give you great health. God can do that if he wants to do. But God's plan may not be great health. It isn't always. God's plan may not be you being rich. Not everybody does well rich. Matter of fact, there's a bunch of warnings. How ye rich men for the misery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt. There's a whole bunch of Bible all over about the dangers of money. Not everybody should be rich. Right. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That's the Bible says. But people want to hear the positive and want to hear the hope and hope and hope and hope and hope and hope and hope. And everybody just listens and watches and goes and just says. And those who preach reality of, you know what? Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. Life has problems, but God will give you grace and strength to make it through it. Pray about it. God may heal you, but Paul did not get healed. God said, no, my grace is sufficient. God will give you grace to make it through whatever he put you through. All things work together for good, love and love of God. If I preach this 20 years ago, every Christian says, oh, duh, obvious, amen. Now that you say this, they say, you know what? I think that doesn't sound right. I think God wants to make all of us prosperous and rich and healthy and happy. Because they sat there and listened and listened and listened and listened to false prophets. That's not Bible. Do you think the apostles were rich and prosperous and had an easy life? No, they're in jail with open wounds on their back. They lost all things. Jesus was crucified and he was right with God. But he had no place to lay his head. That's Bible. They leave you empty in the end. They promise you everything. They tell you what you want to hear. Let me take you to, let's see if I want to finish here. Let me see if I want to finish the verses. Verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, with their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They use their thing to get advantage for themselves, their position, their authority, and everything else. They use great swelling words that everybody wants to hear, but they are murmurers and complainers. And there's a lot of things about false prophets. So you look at them, and you see what the Bible says. Go back to 1 Timothy 6. We'll look at another passage on false prophets. I'm just giving you the Bible teaching on false prophets and how you know them. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is another thing about false teachers. Written to a pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. So here's another characteristic. They're a proud person. They're wonderful. They have it all together. You need what they have. They are great. They are perfect. They never fail. They never mess up. They've got it all together. And God's, they are the special anointed one. Can I tell you, anybody who tells you that they have anointing that you can't have, run from. We're all priests with God. Any one of us can have great power with God. The little widow woman who can pray can have great power with God. You don't have great power with God because you have a big TV ministry or a giant church or anything else. You have great power with God because you know him and walk with him. Listen, some great missionary who's on an island of 100 savages and wins 95 of them to Christ is an anointed man of God, but he's never going to have a big gigantic complex. He's not going to have some gigantic... It's proud. It's I'm this, I'm that, I've got this, you need me. And you, if you cannot get these blessings unless you come through my ministry, that's cult stuff. This is the authority. If anybody leaves the authority of this, then they're hopeless. It's the blessing of the Word of God and the power of God and the Holy Spirit. It's not man. Man uses it in spite of, not because of. And man in his best state is altogether vanity. It's the goodness of God that's the blessing, not some special man that has the only person who has the great truth. The truth is there for you if you want it in the Bible. You can know the truth just as well as I can. Read your Bible, walk with God, get to know him, have the Holy Spirit be your teacher, and you'll get truth. It's proud. It's me, me. I can do things nobody else can. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes and words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, surmising. And this is the one I want to spend a little bit of time on. He wastes time on debates on useless and useless details. He wastes times on debates and useless details. Look at verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions. Notice that, not answers. You know the difference between questions and answers, don't you? There's a whole bunch of people who are really ignorant who bring up questions and questions. Go to philosophy class at your local college and say, what's the truth? Well, you know, it's interesting to ask that. We were just discussing. We had a question about this and this and that. What's an answer? All the things in Christ are yea, verily. This book is full of answers. It tells you how to get to heaven, how to have a good family, how to walk with God, how to have joy and peace, how to have victory, how to overcome addictions, how to handle your money. This is a book of answers. It tells you all you need to know, and yet they come with questions. Well, that's what Jehovah's Witnesses do. If you debate a Jehovah's Witness, it won't be in a Bible debate. It'll be them asking you questions if you let them. Ask you a question, ask you a question, ask you a question, ask you a question, and no answers. And they have doting about questions. just, I got a question. And strife of words. Strife of words. People debate, and they debate about how you say something. I laugh sometimes. I every once in a while, some preacher will tell me about some debate that's going on. I remember I rode in the car one time with I was driving from here to Indiana, and I picked up I had a couple preachers and a few laymen, and they started debating a doctrine of something about repentance, and they debated and they debated and they debated. I sat and listened to them for an hour, and they were saying the same thing, but they were phrasing it differently. And they went on and on and on and on and on. And I finally just started laughing at him. I said, what is so funny? This is serious. I said, you guys believe the same thing. No, we don't. And one said, he believes that you can just 1, 2, 3 pray after me and go to heaven. And he says, the other one, he believes you got to repent of every single sin you've ever done in your life before you can get saved. And I said, you guys are phrasing things differently and debating about how you say things. But you don't believe anything different. Yes, we do. I said, okay, stop me when you disagree with me. We've all sinned. Because of our sin, we don't deserve heaven. God loves us in spite of that sin. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. You've got to trust Christ to save you from your sins or you go to hell. If you trust Christ, you know for sure you're going to heaven. I said, none of you guys stop me. Well, that's what I believe, but he doesn't. No, I believe that. You don't. I said, you guys are fighting about how you're saying this. Stop. It's a long ride. I don't want to throw you out of my car. And people, you know what? And there are different doctrine differences, but if it's just you're saying something different, does it really matter? It's a really important doctrine in the Bible. You're not supposed to fight. Is it just words? Or does it matter? Does it profit? They're fighting about words to no profit, it says. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 1. Let me see if I got the right verse here. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says, neither giving heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. If it gives you a question and doesn't edify, then don't worry about it. Does it matter? Does it matter? There are certain things that Christians argue about all the time that do not matter. I mean, it could go down to, do you use red carpet or blue carpet? Should the Christian flag be on this side and the American flag on this side, or vice versa? You know why I don't bother arguing with different people on speaking in tongues? By the way, I'm totally unique about what I believe in speaking in tongues. I've never heard another person believes like I do. I think everybody always, you don't speak in tongues, or you always speak in tongues. I think everybody's kooky. And the Bible is pretty clear on this thing about how it's supposed to be done. It's given exactly how it's supposed to be done. And you know how often? If I'm soul winning, I knock on a door, charismatic person will come to me and say, man, do you speak in tongues at your church? I said, you know, if it's biblical and it's one or two at the most and with an interpreter and somebody's doing it and it's done biblically, that's fine. I said, we don't let these people just go blah, 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 and have a chaotic service. The Bible says the world will think you're crazy if you do that, and it forbids it. And then he said, well, I think, blah, blah, blah. I say, you know what? That's fine. You know, probably our church probably isn't for you. Have a great day. Am I going to argue with them? No. I got sinners to reach. If I go to a door and they say, do you believe speaking in tongues ever is biblical? I say, well, if I'm in a foreign country and somebody doesn't understand English and the Holy Spirit gives me a different language, that's fine. I don't mind that. I think God can do anything. That's fine. Well, I think it's passed away. Okay. Have a great day. Am I going to spend an hour debating with them? No. Someone wants to argue about Bible versions? I don't got time for you. I'm going witnessing. If you wanted to argue with me all day about contemporary Christian music, I don't got time. The things profit. Christians sit around and argue with each other more than they witness the world. And I got to decide, there are some doctrines that matter and some things worth fighting for, but there's some things that aren't going to edify. And you're just fighting about words and how you phrase things and what your little pet peeve is. And boy, sometimes you just meet a Christian, all they want to do is argue about every contemporary issue. And what do you think about so-and-so preacher? And what do you think about this? And if it doesn't matter and it's not going to change a life, you know how many people can debate all the issues and how many angels can be on, you can put on a pinhead? Okay, when do you need to put angels on a pinhead? It doesn't matter. What do you believe about the gap theory? It doesn't matter if somebody's going to go to heaven or hell. Are you going to get a person off drugs because I argue with you for 10 hours about the gap theory? If you say God didn't create the universe, well, then we got an issue. Okay? If you don't believe that Genesis is literal, that's an issue. But if you want to argue about little details like that, if you want to argue about the age of the earth, you know what? Is somebody going to all of a sudden say, you know what? The world is 10,000 years ago. I'm quitting drinking. I think it's 6,000 years old. Well, no, I'm going to argue. And you argue if it's 6,000 or 10,000 or what? You argue all day about that. It doesn't profit anything. Did God create the universe? That profits. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. They worship the creature more than the creator. That matters. And you got to decide what you want to debate about. It says, argue about words, no profits. Genealogies. I don't think that Methuselah begat so-and-so. I don't care. I barely stay awake and read those passages. You want to debate that all day? Forget it. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to argue about something that doesn't matter. Why didn't God address Job's fourth friend? I want to argue with you about that. You know what? I'll fall asleep. You argue about things that don't matter. If you want to talk about Jesus isn't the Lord and the Bible's not true, then we got an argument. You say Jesus isn't coming back, we'll fight over that. But you know what? That's what it says. Ministering questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. And so it's another passage. Go to 2 Timothy. Watch these strong things. And it's all three. All these are written to a pastor. All these passages are written to a pastor. But don't waste time about things that don't matter. I don't look for fights. If I have to fight and you back me in a corner, I'll fight. But I don't like fighting. I don't like arguing about things that don't matter. If you want to do things a certain way and it's not a Bible issue, then do it. I don't want to fight over that. I don't have to have everything my way. There's issues I've got to have according to the Word of God that God says are important, and we'll have those things. Okay? But I'm not a controlling pastor. I'm not fighting over everything. Everything doesn't have to be exactly perfectly. Pastor, I don't believe it's biblical to set the chairs this direction. The pulpit should face toward the north. Okay? Fine. We're facing towards the west today. And if you want to fight over it, go fight. Go outside. If I'm in 5 minutes, if I'm not there, start fighting anyway. I don't want to fight over everything. You don't have to fight over everything. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions. There's those questions again. Not the answers, the questions. Avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. It's just things, just questions, questions, questions. I like answers. Answers change lives. Questions don't change anybody's life. Questions do not get the abused child secured in their mind. Questions do not teach you how to be a good husband. Questions do not teach you how to get victory over your tobacco. Questions do not teach you how to love your enemy. Answers do. And if you want to debate things or just questions, then you're going to be in trouble because the Bible says not to do that. Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. Titus chapter 3, verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing he that is such as subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So it says, do not worry about questions. If people want to debate you about things that aren't going to edify, they aren't going to build up, and they're just going to give questions, do not bother with that thing. But a false prophet says they love to bring up questions. When you go to church, you have more questions than when you came. You know what? We're going to think about the thought today. I'm going to ask you a question. Did God really do this? And then he never answers the question. And the whole service is all about questions. And you leave questioning God, questioning the Bible, and questioning the truth when it doesn't give you any answers to edify. Preaching and Bible truth is supposed to be the edifying, building up, helping people. And so they like to bring up a lot of questions. If some, I was talking to a false prophet one time. This guy used to be a very good Christian, and I was with him, and I was with him for several days in a cabin. And he kept on asking me questions. Well, if this is true, what about this verse? And if this is true, what about this? And how did this happen? And why do preachers do this if this is true? And if this is true, why is this? And I finally asked him, I said, well, what do you believe? He says, well, let me ask you another question. And I could never get an answer out of him. And finally, I got angry. I said to him, you know what? You've asked your questions. I've read every passage you've asked me about. And you've asked some very good, confusing questions that are very confusing. Now, I need you to tell me what you believe about this. Do you believe this or this? He says, I don't know. And the Holy Spirit said, he's a false prophet. He asked some really good, confusing questions, but he doesn't have any answers. And all the promises in him are, yea, verily. Nobody wondered if there was truth when Jesus talked. When the apostles preached, they had answers. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. He'll save you and repent from this untoward generation. Clear biblical preaching, not questions, answers. I hope when you come to Open Door, you leave us some answers. You leave knowing what the Bible says and knowing how to live and knowing how to follow God. I don't know if I'm the fanciest preacher. I don't know if I'm the best at speaking. I don't know if I'm the best at anything. I just know that the Bible has some answers that edify you and teach you how to live and what to do and how to get victory. And we ought to be spending time on those instead of questions. I don't got time to argue with theologians. Theologians not a Bible term, and there's no theologians in the Bible. All they do is sit around and sit around in their seminaries and ask questions. And they don't get any answers. And they don't edify anybody. They don't win anybody to Christ. They just sit there and get a PhD for questions. Give me grandpa who doesn't have a PhD but knows how to get you to have a good family. Okay? I like answers. They ask questions, questions, questions. And they debate, waste time on useless debates and details. Listen, go find someone who's messed up in your society and win them to Christ and disciple them and get them right and help them to change their life. That's what God's work is. Go feed a hungry person. Go help an orphan. Go rebuild a family. Quit sitting there debating 5 points of Calvinism. Just stop. Quit arguing with each other Christians. There's no time for that. Next, they tell you what you want to hear. We already read a verse on that, but let's go to 2 Timothy. Go back to 2 Timothy. They tell you, a false prophet tells you what you want to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We read a verse already on that about how that they speak great swelling words. And by the way, you want to build a church and have a big crowd? Tell people what they want to hear. They'll come. If I wanted to triple this church in a year, I could do it. I would lose some of you, but I'd get a lot of unspiritual people. Be easy to do. People love hearing what they want to hear. Why do you think talk radio is so popular? Somebody's saying what they want to hear, what they like hearing. People love that. That's why people love listening, and that's why they'll believe a politician. Guys, they've been lying to us every election cycle for 30 years. I mean, you know, they keep saying the same things. They're going to reduce the deficit and fix it. I mean, people love politicians. The politician cannot get elected, doesn't matter. They'll promise you everything, and we vote for them because they're going to do it. And then four years later, they'll promise you the same thing again. Listen, I'm not saying the ones in office right now, just in general. People want to hear something. They're going to hear what they want to hear. They love hearing what they want to hear. You're the best. You're wonderful. You're going to have great success. We just want to hear things. By the way, kids will act like they love their parents who tell them what they want to hear. And I'm not saying all parents are bad. I'm not saying all politicians are bad. But people run to people who tell them what they want to hear. They go to churches. Biggest church in America right now, biggest church in the history of America right now is a church where a pastor is telling people what they want to hear. Biggest church, 45,000 people a Sunday right now, telling people just what they want to hear. You're wonderful. You're great. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He says, there's going to come a time, Timothy, where they won't want to hear preaching anymore. They won't want to hear the word of God anymore. They'll just want to hear what they want to hear. I want a positive thing. And half the Bible is positive and half it's negative. Jesus talked twice as much about hell as he did about heaven. Okay? There's good and there's bad in the Bible. There's sin and there's salvation. Okay? But in the end time, all we want to hear is happy, positive, good. I have itching ears. Tell me I'm wonderful. Tell me I'm doing great. You know, one of the hardest things about counseling is people just want to come to you and just ask, just have you verify that they're great. You know, this is falling apart and this is terrible and my kids hate me and my money's terrible and this and that, but I didn't do anything wrong. I did this and this and this and this and this and this right. Right? No. Well, I don't like you. I'm going to a different counselor. But if you want me to itch your ears, by the way, I am not the preacher or the counselor for you. I itch with pitchforks. I'm not a good ear itcher. If you don't like truth, I mean, I tell people that when I come. I said, I'm going to tell you the truth here, and it might hurt. If you don't want to hear it, tell me now, and I'm not the counselor for you. If you want somebody to just make you feel good, oh, my ear itches like a dog. Oh, I like this preacher. Oh. Well, if that's what you want, if you just want to hear what you want to hear, there's a lot of preachers out there. I'm a wicked, vile sinner who deserves hell. I need preached to sometimes. I don't need to be told just what I want to hear. There's a whole bunch of things I want to hear. But you know, sometimes I need to hear things. That's a little different. A false prophet will tell you what you want to hear. When somebody starts changing, when as you tell them what you believe and it changes, and then all of a sudden what they started telling you it changes to now what you believe, and what you believe is good and fine, then they've changed to itch your ear. That's not good. We are not trying to itch people's ears. We're trying to just please God. We're not trying to build a church here. We're trying to please God. And a false prophet will tell you what you want to hear. You know what everybody wants to hear? Every man proclaims his own goodness. A false prophet starts off nowadays, you're wonderful. That's not what God says. There's none righteous, no, not one. You're great. Any failures you had in life were because of someone else. And you know what? Your future is bright and wonderful. Your future is bright and wonderful if you want to do the right things. But if you want to keep on doing the wrong things, your future is not bright and wonderful. How evil it is to tell someone who goes out and racks up $10,000 of credit card and then tell them your future is wonderful and not tell them to change your character. How evil is that? How evil is it to say you only got divorced because you need to speak into existence the words of a happy marriage next time? How about you figure why your marriage didn't work? Your kids didn't turn out because Satan's after you. Or maybe you were a bad parent. Maybe. Maybe the reason your health is so bad is because you haven't taken care of yourself. Now, you just haven't spoken health. You just speak into existence your health and God will give it to you. That's what I'm saying now. You speak into existence. You're a God. You don't speak into existence anything. Why does that guy have to ask you for money if he can speak things into existence? Can he say, I speak into existence the money from my new grace center? Why can't he do that if he can speak things into existence? Never trust a faith healer who wears glasses. Okay? And these guys who can speak anything into existence, why don't they go and just speak into existence all the money they need? Why do they need your money? False prophets bring in waves, bring in clouds with no rain. They sound good, though. Hard to compete with somebody who's telling you you're wonderful and you're going to have everything in just a few years and everything's going to be great and you're perfect and you don't need to fix anything in your life. Boy, that's good to hear. I wish that was true about me. I'd like to hear that about me. But it isn't true. It feels good, though. False prophets tell you what you want to hear. Real men of God, listen, Jeremiah didn't tell people what they wanted to hear. Isaiah didn't tell people what they wanted to hear. Jesus didn't tell people what they wanted to hear. Neither the apostles. That's a false prophet. Boy, I didn't even get to my next subject. I need to teach you what to contend for. I didn't get to that. Those are false prophets. I want you to be able to identify that. Please don't think not everybody on TV is a false prophet. I'm not saying that. I'd already the big church a false prophet. Not at all. There's some great preachers, some great men of God, some great books in the Christian bookstore, all that. But if they fit that description right there, they're a false prophet. Doesn't matter how nice their smile is or how cute they are or how wonderful they bless you and make you feel good when you watch them. Doesn't matter. Are they a false prophet? do they fit the description? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray we'd follow your word, and I pray we'd see the truth about false prophets. Lord, if we can't even identify a false prophet,